This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, John.
Hi.
And this week, we are talking about Monkey Man.
Monkey Man. You know, this is insane to see from Dev Patel, and it is his directorial debut. This is impressive. This is true dedication to his craft and his dedication towards cinema and just making it possible. He's putting all his dreams and goals all together, and this is what his movie tries to do. And if you're not familiar with the production for this movie, it is insane. We'll talk about that. And the budget as well is insane as well. You know, he just puts it together and makes it work. And this is just a great movie, and I cannot wait to go into it. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many elements of this film that shouldn't really work. That, like, how is the film this impressive and this successful, you know, based on all the behind the scenes stuff? I mean, we're lucky to even get this on the big screen, but we've got it, and it truly is something special. I adore the hell out of it. I mean, Dev Patel, wow. What a guy.
Yeah.
I truly think that, you know, like, I'm quite a bit younger than him, but I feel like in many ways through my life I have kind of watched him grow. I think probably my earliest exposure to him is when he played Zuko in the Shyamalan Last Airbender, which, you know, less said about that.
Wow, that's going way back. That goes way back.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and then, like, you know, when I was a bit older, I watched him as Anwar in Skins and as Jamal in Slumdog Millionaire. And then more recently, we've had him as David Copperfield in The Personal History of David Copperfield and the Green Knight. Sir Gawain. Yes. This guy, even on the podcast, he was recently in a couple of the Wes Anderson Roald Dahl shorts. Everything that he does, he just comes out and is on top of his game. And I would have never thought, I mean, you know, this is his turn as an action hero. This is his turn as a director, as a writer. And somehow he manages to knock every single one out of the park. Whatever he chooses to do, I'm behind this guy. Obviously, The Last Airbender, of course. But other than that, he hasn't really put a foot wrong. And, you know, I haven't seen The Last Airbender, but I'm sure he's good in it. He's just an incredible, incredible artist. And I think that we're just really, really lucky to have him.
Yeah, he has so much creative force, and it's just amazing that there's so many people behind him that is just supporting him. Like Jordan Peele, he's one of the producers for the film, and it just made it work that we can see this film, and it just feels inspiring to watch this film because it's like, it is possible to make a film. There's so much you need to put into, and it fully shows that an artist gives it all to his art, and it's like, this is what Dev Patel is trying to do, and he just makes it work, and it succeeds so well. I was very happy to see this on the big screen cinema.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. An action movie that isn't part of a franchise. I mean, sure, there is potential for it to become a franchise, but right now it is just its own thing. It's a film that is driven by character, that is driven by passion behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're seeing it on the big screen on opening night. We're having a great time. There are two people nattering behind us in the cinema.
Yeah.
You know,
oh my God.
As frustrating as that was, it's all kind of perfectly part of the cinematic experience. I don't like it when people talk in the cinema, but I can't deny that actually there is somewhat of a charm of that atmosphere being in there. And people were talking behind us, but they were talking at the film. They were loving it. They were having a great time. And
true, yeah.
Like, I feel like everybody in the cinema was locked in and, you know, really emotionally investing. Like, you know, we're not in spoilers just yet, but when the film cuts to black at the end, I feel like everyone in the cinema was like, what are we... Is that it? Like, I feel like everyone was just like, hold up, are we done? Is that, like, is there going to be something more? And then the credits roll and everyone is just collectively like, wow, what a picture. It truly is just like a testament to what we can achieve. I cannot believe this film is going to be dumped on Netflix. It may have reached a bigger audience. Truthfully, a lot of people might choose not to watch this, but it would have been such a disservice not to give it its shot in theaters.
My parents, when they watched this trailer on the big screen, they were like laughing at it. They were just like, this is ridiculous. But then when I got back and I told my dad, he was like, what? you're joking, right? This is a great film. And I was like, yeah, you should watch it. And it's like Netflix just ruins that experience of watching a movie, because watching movies on streaming services doesn't have that same appeal to watching movies on the big screen, because it's like it's showing to be like digestible, or showing to be like, you know, you can pause the movie anytime. And I think that's just restricts your viewing experience. But at the cinema, you're going in fully blind, you're just locked in, and this is what Monkey Man is supposed to be. It's like you're in for a ride, and you are supposed to be invested into this whole story that Dev Patel fully created. But you can see it. You can fully see it on the big screen. So I'm so glad it wasn't on Netflix, because then you have to watch it on your TV screen, which wouldn't have that same appeal or the same experience.
That same Jordan appeal. Ha ha. Oh, good. Comedy. Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. So Monkey Man, full spoilers ahead for anyone who hasn't seen it. Briefly explain the plot for those who don't know.
An anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continued to systematically victimize the poor and powerless.
Oof, very nice. Oof. So let's talk about the main attraction here. Let's talk about the action.
The action.
I thought that the action was just mesmerizing. This film is an 18 in the UK. I'm sure it's an R-rated in the States. There are some moments where it is so unfiltered and so unhinged, so raw, with like some proper gore and some unexpected head explosions, for instance, that I was just completely like unexpected, and I was like, oh damn.
Yeah, this is just engaging and refreshing, and it was just so intense. Like the fight scene, like this guy, Dev Patel's character, you know, he wasn't the powerful type character. Like he isn't very good at fighting at first, but then you slowly get to progress to see that, you know, he becomes very brutal and it's just like unhinged. But you get to see unhinged fight scenes throughout the film. It's just so insane, you know, they put into the choreography, into the film, and the cinematography as well. I liked how the cinematography wasn't like taken cinematography. There was a lot of shaky cam, but it wasn't jarring or out of the blue. It just kept us engaging. It just kept us flowing. And there was one scene that absolutely was like mind blown. It's like one of those moments in the film that you just like, you locked in. It was when there was the axe fight. Some of it was one take, but it was just so intense and insane. And Dev Patel's character was biting the axe man's nose. And again, this is unhinged. It just goes beyond. It just goes for different ways of like showing the film's real nature, you know, the violence for this character as well. He's like, he will do whatever it takes just to survive. And it just really reminds me of how action movies are just getting better with the choreography, like John Wick, for example. Like they will just keep it consistent. You can see that in 4, which makes it so engaging, but this one in particular just makes it so unique, and it's just like so intense to see that. And you gotta give it to him. You gotta give it to Dev Patel. He just keeps it going. And by the way, during production, he broke his hand and his leg. And he said, like, well, we need to find new ways to keep this going, or, you know, they're gonna shut down production or something. But that is insane that you just kept dedicated to the fight scenes and keep it going. I'm going to give it like an applause right there. That is just impressive.
Yeah, incredible. I think he got like a screw in his hand.
Yes.
Just so they could like, you know, continue. So he didn't have to wait for ages for it to heal. You know, it really is dedication. You can tell that this film, it's a low budget film. You know, it's something that really could have been halted at any second. We live in an age where films can just be cancelled as tax write-offs.
Yes.
And
very,
you know,
scary.
Stuff,
very scary.
Yeah. It's honestly just incredible how dedicated to making this film work Dev Patel was. And the action really comes out well. I mean, mostly it seems like he's doing all of his own stunts. He's doing all the action. I mean, that is one of the amazing things about timeless action, is that it's those people doing it all. You know, it's Keanu Reeves as John Wick. It's Matt Damon as Jason Bourne, you know, that kind of stuff. And you're right, this film isn't edited like Taken with 1,000 shots. There is quite a lot of shaky cam, but I feel like it works, especially
it
when
works.
You look at early action and later action. I found the camera, while still shaky, was much more steady in the final action scene. I feel like there is a real sense of the protagonist. We never actually hear the protagonist's name.
He listed as Kid for Dev Patel's character, but it's just anonymous that we don't know.
Yes. So Kid, he's gone through this character progression. He's gone through this arc and he's more centered and he's ready. It actually reminded me of Star Wars. It reminded me of Obi-Wan Kenobi, particularly that show shot with a lot of shaky cam. And then towards the end of the final duel, it kind of locks off a little bit more as a kind of statement of Obi-Wan's got his act together. And I love that kind of stuff. It's very simple storytelling, but I think it's very effective, and it is here. And there are so many just unfiltered moments that I loved. Like, there's a moment when Kid slams someone into a toilet, like his head, like onto the toilet seat.
My God.
And his head just splatters. I feel like everyone in the cinema was like, ooh. And then, as you say, he's biting the nose and just all of these brilliant moments. Like the final fight scene, you know, it's not really like a huge fight scene, but like when he's going up against the prophet guy, he's been stabbed. And then he like puts the second knife through his hand and he uses it to stab the guy and then stabs him like right on his forehead, like through his brain. This film goes so unbelievably hard. Like, this is so brilliant. Like, okay, you bring up John Wick. A lot of people have compared this film to John Wick. And I love John Wick. You know, we did an episode on Chapter 4. Yeah. It was awesome. And there's been discussions about John Wick Chapter 5. I think that it's so much more interesting to get people like Dev Patel, get new voices to make action that, you know, like this film is very wrapped up in Indian culture. It's set in India. It kind of talks about social, political stuff, divisions between Muslims and non-Muslim people. You know, like, it's really, really interesting. It makes it so much more engaging than like another sequel. Not that the John Wick sequels aren't great, but this felt so fresh, it felt so new, it felt so just exciting to experience.
Yeah, and I loved how with India, you know, we got to see Dev Patel's world. He wanted to really show what was going on with the social political stuff in the movie. There's one thing that I didn't get, but you told me, Tom, about like there was like a trans message in the movie that I didn't quite get, but I loved how subtle it was, because some of the dialogue that I couldn't hear but you brought it across was about when the protagonist is in the temple and there was that message about Shiva, about like there's two halves, and the movie expands upon that. And I loved how the movie was melded into Indian folklore and mythology, and again that was like really heavily reinforcing for the story and symbolically as well for the protagonist, about like him becoming better who he was. And you get to see an amazing characterization for this protagonist from beginning to end, and it is amazing. From the beginning, he wasn't particularly brave enough to kill the guy who killed his mother. He had lots of anxiety, and I thought that was really strong to show that all the way through. And he becomes a lot better, stronger at the end of the movie. And again, it's the cinematography that really does a lot of visual storytelling for the character. It's just the emotional moments that really makes it shine for the protagonist. It's just like, wow, it just makes this character really connect to the audience. And I think that's just impressive to do that as well. It's just like, there's so much going on, but it just makes it work as well. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, it's something that you see in a lot of action films, a lot of films about fighters. I made the comparison to Star Wars before, but like it is something you see in Star Wars as well. The idea that the protagonist needs to center themselves, need to truly look within, overcome their trauma, and then and only then can they come out on top? Can they become this figure? I can't quite remember the name of the figure, but there's this whole like story that, you know, as you say, is kind of part of Indian folklore that's talking about this mythic figure who's kind of like trying to get the mango, and the mango is actually the sun, and then they get burnt, but then, and the gods decide to smite them, but then they kind of come out triumphant. And it's kind of like mirroring that story. Let's call it the Hanuman or something.
Hanuman, yeah.
Yeah, and it's mirroring that with Kid's story, and that's great. And last year we talked about Creed 3, and we talked about kind of being a little bit disappointed about the training montage in that. I was not expecting to get a really cool training montage in this film, but we got it, and it was brilliant. Like, you know, not only did we get to see a ripped, shirtless, sweaty Dev Patel punching a punching bag, but like it's intercut with all of this like political tension, and the stakes are getting higher and higher and things are becoming bigger. And the story at its core is about revenge. It's about the length that Kid will go to find inner peace and to to get that vengeance, but also what broadly it's about the sovereign party in India and closing off borders and rejecting people. Like, as you say, there's this whole like trans allegory for, you know, this group of people who the main person says people in this country are afraid of the idea of like half man, half woman. You know, there's that statue which is split between the two. And you know, this main person who also at the end has their face painted half one side, half the other, kind of like this non-binary representation. Yeah. And, you know, like throughout this whole, like, we hear that, like, you know, trans people are being attacked. We see one of those attacks at the aftermath of it. At the end, it's fighting for so much more than just, like, vengeance. It's fighting for the oppressed. Literally, all the trans people come together and take part in the action. And it's super triumphant. It's super exciting to see that. And we also get one of the sex workers as well getting to have revenge on their boss, who's really mistreated them the whole time. All of this stuff kind of comes in, and it's really well built. I wasn't necessarily feeling too emotionally invested in the whole revenge plotline in the first yeah. half. I have to say, like, you know, the first half, they kind of withhold so much information from you, like, to make this reveal of, like, what happened to his mother and stuff, that it does make the first half feel a little bit emotionally stunted. You know, the best thing about that first half is seeing him infiltrate this brothel and seeing him when he fails to kill the police chief and has to be go on the run. That's brilliant. But emotionally, it really comes alive in the second half when the fight becomes the fight for the future of India, basically. And we never really get that resolved. Like, that never finishes, but that's kind of what's so good about it. As I said earlier, the film just ends when Kid seemingly dies. And, like, that's perfect. I don't think we should make a sequel to this film because it's just like, yeah. boom, that's that. He's, you know, his quest is complete. He has completed the vengeance. He has maybe found yeah. some kind of inner peace. It's kind of funny that we're talking about inner peace in Kung Fu Panda 4 last week. And it's like, bam.
Bam. There's inner peace. And the cinematography, oh, there was so many good shots. And one of my favorite was when Kid was walking in the final scene with that massive painting, this massive battlefield. And there was the, I believe it was the Hanuman. The tall monkey, is it? Yeah, the tall monkey in that picture. And I think, again, that just brings so much symbolism. It's just like Kid, he's just been through so much and he just fights his way through and he just finds inner peace. And it's like the elevator. And, you know, when he comes out the elevator, you know, there's red and it's like he's about to die, or, you know, he's going through something that it's like going through hell, basically. He's going through that. And when the movie ended like that, it just like, yes, that's how you should end the movie, because it's just like, it's so subtle, but also it just brings an audience to discuss about the character and, you know, what he's been through. They should end it there. Like, you don't need a sequel. I think that's just a perfectly rounded movie that just really tells a story from beginning to end. So, yeah. Love that.
Yeah, Kid's story is over. I would say that if you are going to continue this film, follow the trans people, follow maybe like the sex worker, or follow the, like, he's got like that kind of that friend who disappears from the narrative a little bit. I don't really know what happens to him. You could follow a whole host of things from this film. But I would say that, and you know, with Dev Patel as director, like, you know, you can still kind of keep his influence. But I do think the Kid's story feels done. Yeah. Although, with it being so John Wick, and they even make a John Wick reference in the film, it does feel like if they make a sequel, they'll bring him back and they'll be like, yeah, he survived. So, yeah, I thought that, you know, it was just really effective and really simple. And I thought it just all worked so well together. It is one that soars above many other action films, and I will kind of remember as, you know, one of the most effective in recent memory.
I'm so glad that we got to see this film and the films that we watched on the pod. Man, we did not like the past few films that we talked about, but I'm so over the moon that we got to talk about a film that is so dedicated to the craft, dedication to cinema, to art. It's just the passion, and it's just like, you are gaining audience, and it worked. Just the audience just gets together and have that same reaction or talk about it. I mean, don't talk it in the cinema, but if you're talking about the film, just do it quietly.
Yeah, we were driving back and just like, oh God, I wanted to tell those guys to shut up the whole time. But it's fine. It's fine. They were having fun.
And they were eating as well. I'm like, okay, it's a bit too loud. It's a bit too loud. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, okay, they can eat, but not too loudly. If it's like during a quiet scene, I'm like, shush.
Yeah, I'm always so scared because I have told people to shut up before in the cinema. I'm scared they're going to like shout at me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
my parents,
they'll be
my
like
parents,
Karens. They'll be like, no,
yes,
no, you do not do that, okay? We're
yeah,
trying to watch the movie, okay?
It's my right,
like,
yeah.
This is my seat, okay? I'm gonna watch it with my eyes, okay? This is what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna watch it with my eyes, yes. My parents are watching Wonka, and there was somebody like being really obnoxious, and my dad told him to shut up. And then the guy like shouted at my dad, and then like everyone else in the cinema started shouting at the guy. And so like that would be the perfect scenario.
Oh,
justice.
Wow. Justice, yeah.
But it is so much better to have it at the cinema. It's crazy that Netflix were ever gonna, you know, apparently they were worried about releasing it in cinema because of the way that it deals with the Indian political situation. But I'm so glad that they didn't worry about that too much. There's that story that, you know, Jordan Peele watched it and was so stunned by it that he was like, no, this has to be, you know.
He cooked.
Yes.
We need to show it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I tell you what, Jordan Peele has a new film coming out in December this year, I want to say. So like, you know, brilliant year for things to do with Jordan Peele. I'm assuming that it's going to be brilliant because every Jordan Peele film is brilliant. Is it still coming out next year?
I think it's delayed.
Ah, never mind.
But at least
a crushing blow.
We do have time to cook.
Yes.
Yeah, Jordan Peele, thank you so much for producing for this movie. Without it, it wouldn't be possible to see this at all. This is amazing, man. You know, like, this is a directorial debut. Wow.
One to watch. So, what are you going to give Monkey Man out of 10?
An 8 out of 10.
Brilliant. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we're going to be doing Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. So, you know, we got monkeys this week, we got monkeys next week, we got Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, more monkeys soon. It's the year of the ape, it is.
Wait, Tom, it's going to be bananas.
Aha! And you can send us an email at rsignfilmpod@gmail.com. We'll be recording next Saturday, so let us know your thoughts on Godzilla X Kong by then, and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at @outoftimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asbel, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to LJ Smith for the excellent theme, and Roman Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything.
Brilliant.
Monkey Man.
Monkey Man. Give everything back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.